Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
And this morning, we're having a chat with Associate Professor Paola Boarin, who works in the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of Auckland. She's also the co-founder and co-director of the Future Cities Research Hub. And we're talking about restorative and regenerative outcomes for sustainable housing. Kia ora, Paola. How are you this morning?
Morena, how are you? Thank you for having me today.
It's great to have you here. This sounds like really fascinating research. So you started off being interested in sustainability in architecture and design, and now you've got this focus on restorative and regenerative outcomes. Can you explain the difference between those two things, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's definitely a fascinating world. As you might know, we've been talking about sustainability for over 30 years now, since the mid-80s when we first started to understand what really sustainability means. And we came up with definitions that incorporate, you know, the environmental aspect, the social aspect, and the economic aspect.
Mm-hmm.
In my job as an architect and as an educator in architecture, my main focus is around the environmental aspect. And when we take the angle of sustainability, everything is about limiting the impact and minimizing the impact on the environment.
Right.
So basically, what we do with sustainability is achieving a balance. A point where we give back to the environment as much as we take from it.
Mm.
But because we've been doing so much damage on the environment in the recent past, we are now at a point where we definitely need to do much more than that, and this is why we need to start focusing on something that gives more back. And this is the restorative and regenerative approach. So when we speak about restorative, we mean that we need to restore the habitat, the environment, and also our ecological and social networks to a healthy state, because again, we've been doing so much damage.
Mm.
And then when we move this to the next level, to the regenerative approach, it is about maintaining this healthy state in the long term, and also allowing, you know, these environments and social ecosystems as well to evolve and to progress as healthy as possible.
So
it's really a mind shift.
Yeah, I was going to say, this feels like a really big kind of cultural shift that needs to happen, as well as a shift within actually the practices of building and designing spaces for people to live. But what does this kind of look like in reality? Is this looking at things like co-housing spaces, or what does this kind of like shake down as when you start to see buildings being made or projects being developed?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because actually you can do restorative and regenerative designs across all typologies of buildings. So it is not related to a specific type of buildings, like you said, co-housing or social housing. But any building, existing or new, can be a restorative or even a regenerative building. So again, when we talk about sustainable, when we think about sustainable, it's a building, for instance, that reduces the impact on the environment, minimizes the impact on the environment. And an example could be using as much energy as it consumes.
Right.
When we take it to the next level, we change also the words associated to it, and they become even more positive in themselves. So we speak about increasing the value of the building in terms of its health benefits to the people and the environment around it, creating new ecological systems or enhancing existing ones, or even, again, repairing the existing ones, also through buildings that are built in a way that is much more connected to the nature and to the, let's say, to increase the health and well-being of the people inhabiting it.
Yeah.
And we know after, I mean, this long pandemic, how important it is to maintain a healthy state, physical and mental, inside our buildings, especially when we have to spend so much time inside our buildings.
Absolutely. What are some projects that you've sort of seen that have felt very successful or positive around the world in this sense? Because I feel like, as you were saying, it's a mentality shift. So where have you sort of seen it be successful and be that kind of hopeful line in the sand for things we could do in the future?
Well, there are examples from all over the world, but unfortunately there are not so many still. This is a growing trend, luckily, but again, we still need to do this big mind shift and create this big change of approach, first of instance, in those who want a building to be built, so our clients, but also all the designers. So examples of these are buildings that, for instance, work with the local climate they are built in, so they are thermally sound, so they create a comfortable indoor environment in all seasons. They achieve a positive energy balance, which means they produce more energy than the one they consume, so they give back, basically. And that can be done through efficient insulation, for instance, photovoltaic panels, solar panels on our roofs and systems, and the orientation of the building, as simple as that. It's really a simple thing for a designer, but not a very simple thing sometimes when we speak about existing buildings, of course.
So how do we
work with natural light, another example.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's always one that's so great for the mental health if you have lovely natural light in a space. I wanted to know, though, how do you get this mentality shift to happen then? What do we need to sort of be talking about or see happen for people to be able to start to understand this new type of thinking?
Well, this is something that I try to address every day in my activities and my teaching activities, particularly at the University of Auckland. I do teach environmental and sustainable designs, and in these courses I try to, you know, pass on this new mentality to future designers, so the students in the architecture program, and that's a start. But also through the Future Cities Research Hub, we try to produce research that has an impact on this regard and can demonstrate how these new approaches can produce really positive outcomes for our people and our environment. And I engage, and we can engage with the profession. So ongoing training for designers and activities that, again, demonstrate the feasibility of these approaches. And existing case studies are really a powerful way to demonstrate that something can be really built and can achieve these outstanding outcomes.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Associate Professor Paola Boeren from the University of Auckland. Have a fantastic rest of your morning. And this sounds like really interesting research. So cheers for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university. All right.